Program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Whenever I listen to that disclaimer, I think to myself, that's right, these are my views and opinions and not those of the staff and management of this company because they're not as smart as I am. Anyway, okay, before we get started, I got to do my thing for OrbitNutrition.com. My buddy Muscle Mitch at Orbit Nutrition is blowing out PES's product called Shift. Those of you who had amazing results with Alpha T2 but didn't like the stimulating effects because you couldn't take it late in the day and keep burning fat, you'll love Shift because it is nothing but the thyroid hormone T2, which is naturally occurring in nature, so it's an over-the-counter supplement that has been studied and shown to burn fat. This stuff is great. If you want to rid your body of fat, get some Shift, and you can even take it late in the evening. And guess what? The research that was done on thyroid hormone T2 shows that it does not interfere with T3 or T4 production. So you don't have to worry about shutting your thyroid down like you do with things like Cytomel and stuff like that. Go to orbitnutrition.com, get a bottle of Shift for $14.99. Holy mackerel. That's cheap to see your abs, $14.99. Orbitnutrition.com. Okay. We've got an interesting discussion today with a gentleman named Sean Casey. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Before we get started with this really intriguing discussion, I want to talk a little bit about you. Tell me how you found your way into physical culture, nutrition, training, all that sort of stuff.
Kind of the background, you know, from a young age, I've always been very intrigued with physical performance. And, you know, honestly, if I had to attribute to one thing, it's probably watching Rocky IV as a young kid.
more careers were started by Rocky in one way or another. It was amazing.
Oh. Without a doubt. And, you know, I remember coming home from school probably, you know, every day when I was in, like, first and second grade, I'd pop in the good old Rocky IV VHS tape, watch that, then I'd go down to my basement, you know, bang out sit-ups, push-ups. I was too weak at that time to do pull-ups, so I just did arm hangs. But that was my introduction into physical culture, and I just loved the idea of, you know, having huge muscles. You know, I was a fan of, like, the Marvel comics with just these superhero physiques.
Yeah.
And so that was very intriguing to me. And so, you know, as time went on, I got more involved with the resistance training, sprint training, and things of that nature. In high school, I played, I was a running back in football, and then I did sprints during the track and field. And, you know, the performance that I saw myself go from, you know, I was just based off potential, you know, I was an average athlete. But, you know, through, you know, the physical culture, by training hard, putting, you know, healthier foods in my body, you know, I was able to jump up to varsity as a sophomore. And, you know, I had success, you know, playing football. In college, I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And my passion for human performance continued to take off. I earned a degree in nutritional science. And I also picked up a second degree in exercise physiology. During that time period, I had the opportunity to work with UW Badgers strength conditioning department under Scott Hentenbach's guidance. I had a great experience there. Following that opportunity, I went to Bradenton, Florida, and I worked at the International Performance Institute. I assisted with USA's U18 national men's soccer team. And
some very, very high echelon athletes.
I've been very fortunate. I've had opportunity to learn from some great minds. You know, after there, I went to Athletes Performance and had the opportunity to train and coach athletes under Luke Richardson, who's now the head strength coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, just a great experience. You know, the thing I tell people is, you know, my knowledge or my experiences are the reflection of other people who have invested their time in me to help me learn, to help me grow, you know, taught me how to critically evaluate research, you know, on the academic side. And so, you know, I truly have to give all the credit to them. You know, I don't claim to be an expert on any one thing. I'm confident with my knowledge, but, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of a reflection of everyone else who's been willing to invest time to help me grow. So that's kind of my background on that side of things.
Now, you still train people, correct? I mean, you're
correct.
Okay.
And right now I'm working with a couple of high school basketball teams. I'm doing a little bit more education right now. As you may be aware of, a lot of the states now are passing legislation which makes it impossible to claim to be a nutritionist if you aren't certified as a registered dietitian.
Which, you know, which to me is a disgusting thing because you're going to be force-fed the big agra, big pharma agenda in that arena. You know, they're telling people that popcorn is a healthy snack. You know,
I know it's, you know, like I go to all these, you know, hopefully none
I mean,
of my
how do you I have to ask you this question. When you're sitting there listening to someone tell you, you know, that you should be telling your clients that the majority of their meal base should be, you know, cereals, pastas, breads, grains, and soy and stuff like that. I mean, how do you not stand up and go, are you crazy? You know, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I've gotten into a lot of heated discussions. Like my, the other interns I'm with right now, they know, you know, I'm very, you know, strong with my opinions. I'm not like, confrontational, but you know, the evidence is overwhelming, you know. And you know, it's funny, I went to a dietetic conference earlier, and it seemed like all the other dietitians, you know, the number of them that were overweight, the number of them that were, you know, they're either overweight or sticking bones. And, you know, if any of my preceptors are listening to me right now, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of nasty emails coming back. But, I mean, it's the truth. I remember on the second day of conference, they provided a breakfast to us, and all it was donuts, and hot cereal, which, you know, there was no, like, protein. They didn't even have milk to put on the cereal. They didn't have...
Shame on them.
You know, any sort of, you know, protein.
And you know what? I'll bet you, and if they listen to this, they're going to say, well, that's all that the venue offered. You know, we did the best we could with what the venue offered. It's like baloney. They offer hard-boiled eggs at those places. You could have got...
Oh, yeah.
They buy those hard-boiled eggs already deshelled and in plastic bags. They, you know, there's plenty of things that they could have provided. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I would never, if you go to a dietitian and they don't look like, you know, a male or female Adonis, get up and leave. Because,
yeah.
You know, let's do this. If you have children and you want them to learn how to play the piano, are you going to take them to someone who is just slightly better than them? You know, you're going to take them to one of their peers, to some other kid who's also learning the piano, and say, well, here, you teach my kid, even though you don't know anything, it's clear you don't know anything. Then why would you go to a person when you're going and you're thinking, gee, I want to get my diet straightened out. I want to get my diet straightened out because I want to be healthy. I want to look healthy. I want to live longer. And you sit down with a dietitian and they have like flab and they are pasty looking and they have no muscle tone. Get up and leave. If you don't have the common sense to get up and leave, then shame on you.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just, you know, especially, you know, even in the sports nutrition, I mean, there's such an emphasis on, you know, supplements are bad, you know, they're no good, things of that nature. And, you know, I'm Dr. Jose Antonio, I was listening to a podcast he had the other day, and he made an excellent point, you know, like supplements aren't a bad thing, you know, you don't have to have a perfect diet to receive a benefit from having the supplement. You know, he referenced, you know, creatine, which, you know, has been proven time and time and time again to be an excellent supplement. And, you know, in not one of those things or, you know, studies did they force the people to clean up their diets first.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying.
Well, the same thing with Dr. Paul Asiero's group over at Skidmore. They didn't make those people clean up their diets. They just made them take 20 grams of whey protein 3 times a day, and they lost 4 kilos of body fat in like 6 or 12 weeks, I think it was. So
you're right.
Supplements are very beneficial, but they are what they are, and that's why they call them supplements. They're not primary. They're something you add to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, getting off track here, and we're really going to have to go into a commercial break. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about something very intriguing. And this, people like Stepan Stosny are going to just yell hip hip hooray when they hear this show today, because we're going to be talking when we talk about advanced glycation end products, we're normally talking about them in humans who are insulin resistant and how they damage the body. But advanced glycation end products occur in the foods we eat, too. And Sean is going to illustrate for us how they occur and what the dangers of them are and how you can avoid them. This is going to be a really good show. I'm really excited about today's show. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
You want to rumble in my jungle? I'll take you on. Stampede.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. When we talk about advanced glycation end products, like I said before, we normally talk about the damaging effects of insulin resistance. As glucose levels rise in our body, they actually crystallize things, tissue, cells, and so on. But that's not what we're talking about today, is it, Sean?
No. The topic I'd like to discuss today, as you kind of alluded to prior to break, is advanced glycation end products, or AGEs as I like to refer to them, that are present in food prior to actually eating them. And very interesting history behind them. In 1912, a French physician by the name of Dr. Louis Malliard, he found that when proteins were heated in the presence of carbohydrates, they underwent a browning reaction. And these products became known as Malliard reaction products. And Malliard reaction products were kind of an intermediary product prior that ends up leading to the formation of AGEs. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, these products are formed in food have been known for quite some time. And, you know, the kind of the common thing you see in their formation is the browning of it. And so, you know, you think of a pie crust, you know, or a pie or whatever. You throw it into the oven.
Right. We call it caramel. You call it caramelization. Like when you fry onions, right? They get brown,
exactly.
Crystallized. That, and we call it caramelization for a reason. And caramel is the result of heating sugars.
Exactly. And so, you know, this has been knowledge around for a little while, but, you know, for the longest period of time, it's thought, you know, we didn't really know advanced glycation end products, you know, what they did in the body. It wasn't until about the 70s, you know, where they first started noticing with glycosylated hemoglobin, or HbA1c. But, you know, it wasn't until 1997 where it was really discovered that, you know, the human body absorbs these AGEs in our food. Prior to then, it was just kind of assumed that the body excreted them. You know, they weren't absorbed through the intestinal tract. But like I said, in 1997, a research group, they had subjects consume advanced glycation end products. And what they found was 10% of all dietary AGEs were absorbed into circulation.
So that means that even if you are living a life that is adhering to low blood sugar levels or stable blood sugar levels to avoid your own glycation products, the consumption of them could still be causing you damage.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, of the AGEs you consume that are absorbed, only one-third of them are actually excreted by, you know, people with normal kidney function. And so you have two-thirds of these dietary AGEs that are absorbed stay within your body, you know, that just cause instant, you know, havoc on the things they, you know, come in contact with. You know, they bind with receptors for AGEs, which are scattered throughout the body. And as you've discussed in previous shows, I mean, they lead to so many dysfunctions, you know, both from, you know, I don't care if you're looking at macular degeneration, Alzheimer's disease, cardiovascular disease. I mean, it's just a plethora of list of things that it affects throughout the entire body.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the most prominent maladies that are associated with advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, like you like to call them. The top of the list is vascular disease, correct?
Correct. The first studies were first done in animals, and some very interesting things were found. When they administered advanced glycation end products, you know, almost instantaneously, mice started developing cardiometabolic diseases.
Now I got to ask you this. Do you have any idea on how they administer isolated AGEs? Do they just heat sugar?
Basically, more or less, they would take you know, whatever their chow was and heated it under high heat conditions.
And so I would have to say that of all the candies that you could eat in the world that are bad for you, the double whammy would come from candy that has caramel in it. Because you basically, the sugar from the candy on top of the fact that you have a high load of AGEs in the caramel.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at a double whammy there. I mean, regardless of how you, you know.
Damn, I have to give up. I have to give up milk. I have to give up milk duds now. Oh, that's not.
How are we going to live now?
Okay, so they gave the rats or the go ahead, get back. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
Yeah. Oh, no worries, no worries. It's all good. And so that, you know, they gave 40 healthy mice diets that were either high or low in AGEs. And the high diet had about 2.4 times as much advanced glycation. And interesting, you know, they followed these diets for 6 months. At 6 months, 75% of the mice who, again, were healthy at the start of the study developed type 2 diabetes. In contrast, you know, despite having similar high gains in weight, not one of the 20 mice consuming the low AGE diet developed type 2 diabetes.
Interesting. Interesting.
And even more interesting is, you know, high-fat diets are often considered, you know, the cause of all these cardiometabolic diseases.
Right.
But, you know, in this study, both animals were on a high-fat diet. And so, you know, the only thing that differed, just, you know,
was the AGE consumption.
Exactly.
So, you know, I wonder if the old chicken and the egg, you know, those who are involved in the discovery and cures related to insulin resistance and diabetes always associate AGEs as corollary, that, you know, they occur as a result of insulin resistance. But this is interesting. What if it's not that way? What if the AGEs come first and then the insulin resistance comes second?
You know, that's honestly what I'm starting to think of, you know, think occurs. I mean, they've shown in studies, you know, when these AGEs, when they bind to the receptors, you know, they kick off the inflammatory process. You know, they promote cellular dysfunction.
Bingo.
NF-kappa B reaction gets, you know, kick-started. The tissue goes all, you know, crazy on itself. I mean, you know, people look at me like I'm goofy when I tell them that, you know, advanced glycation end products are, you know, causing this. And, you know, obviously I get weird stares from people, but, you know, it's very, very interesting. You know, as I mentioned, like to mention to people, you know, I feel in the decade of 2010, advanced glycation end products are going to be discussed the way that free radicals and, you know, that nature were discussed, you know, the previous two decades. You know,
right.
It's a very, very interesting, you know, development that's going on in the body
in response
to these.
You know, and the other thing that comes to mind is there are a couple studies that promoted the notion that insulin resistance occurs as a result of cellular inflammation, that once a cell becomes inflamed or the inflammatory process occurs, that the cell no longer responds to insulin, so higher levels of insulin must be attained in order to get glucose into the cell. And I'm going to go back and look at that research. I bet they did not look at AGEs at that point in time, unless they looked at AGEs, as I said before, as corollary. Like, in other words, it was occurring as a result of the insulin resistance. I have a feeling that you're really onto something. I have a feeling that the magic is that the AGEs are begetting insulin resistance because they cause inflammation. And we're consuming these AGEs. Now, which foods are the worst culprits for AGEs when heated?
When heated, the worst culprits are your meat products.
Is that? Do meat products have sugar in them?
You know, they don't necessarily. When you think of meat, you don't think of sugar or anything
right.
of that nature. But what people forget is the fact that, you know, muscles or meat's a tissue from animals, and what does all muscle contain?
Glycogen.
Bingo. And so, you know, it's not going to amount to, you know, on your nutrition facts card, you know, 10 grams of carbohydrates or, you know, anything like that.
I just thought of something, Sean. What do commercial beef producers do the 6 weeks before they slaughter a cow? They feed it nothing but corn. Why? Because it puts on 3 pounds a day. So you're talking about mega doses of glycogen storage in meat.
as opposed to grass-fed beef. People complain about grass-fed beef. They say, oh, it's so lean and, you know, it's, and it doesn't have the nice fatty. Yeah, right. It doesn't also doesn't have all that glycogen in it.
Yeah. Bingo. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, when you look at nutrition fact, cards, you know, you round down, you know, if it has, I mean, you never see something with just 1 gram of carbohydrate, you know, with those, you know, 3 or 4 or 5. But, I mean, when you put these under high heat, it's going to break down. You know, the glycogen, it's ultimately sugars. You know, it's going to react with all the proteins. The other thing kind of contributes to this is, you know, having the fattier content, you know, greater fat content kind of contributes to this under high heat. And so, you know, look at your grass-fed beef. Again, you're going to have less fat content.
Yeah, they're much, it's much leaner.
Beef, exactly. Since it's much leaner, when it goes under the cooking process, you're going to have less AGE formation within the product itself.
Now let's address our vegan friends out there who are going to say, see, we told you. I have to imagine that cooking vegetables also produces AGEs.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's look at, you know, soy, which obviously there's a lot of issues I have with soy.
I hate
soy. But, you know, this is what I get when I tell my friends who are vegetarians about, you know, AGEs. They're like, look, I told you, eating all that meat is bad for you. It's going to cause, you know, bad things to occur in your body.
Right.
And what do they eat? They eat soy, you know. Right. And but anyhow, here's the interesting thing. You know, if we take, for reference, you know, I'm just going to say fish. Per 90 grams, you're looking at about 3,000 units of AGEs that form within it. In contrast, on that, you know, in that same unit of mass, 90 grams, if we take tofu and we saute it, you're looking at 4,200 units of AGEs. And so this tofu has over 1,000 more AGEs present within it after being cooked versus something, say, you know, fish or, you know, pork. It even has more than pork in it. And, you know, pork gets a bad name a lot.
Yeah.
So very
well, but pork gets a bad rap because of the way pork is raised, not
true.
Inherently in the pork itself. But, you know, pigs are fed garbage, literally. I mean, they literally pick up garbage from the hotel casinos in Las Vegas
and dump it out.
They feed it to the pig farm that's out in Nye County, Nevada. I mean, I know that for a fact. They have a contract with all the hotels to pick up all of the food waste. So these pigs are eating hot dogs. Guess what? They're eating other pigs. And
yeah.
You know,
I guess I should have specified that, like, you know, you're our family, we eat a lot of wild boar.
Yeah, I like that.
And so, you know, I love wild boar. You know, the taste, you know, and the fact that, like you said, it's not eating, more or less not cannibalizing its own, you know,
right.
Products. And so, yes, I agree 100% with you. I should have specified that a little clearer.
Okay, here, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about foods that perhaps are not high in AGEs, even when cooked. And then we're going to discuss how you can avoid AGE overload. We're talking today with Sean Casey. If you want to learn more about Sean, he's got a great website called caseperformance.com. And there's two articles up there all about dietary AGEs from high heat cooking. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now.
Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
OPResource.net. Use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25 to save an additional 25% off their already low, low prices. Huge amounts of positive feedback coming back to me about people who are using IGF-1 Long R3 with pegylated MGF and putting on great amounts of muscle without disrupting their hypothalamus and pituitary testicular axis with hormones. Check it out. Go to opresource.net today. We're talking with Sean Casey about dietary AGEs. Okay. As Dr. Michael Smith once said on my show, once you accumulate AGEs, it's almost impossible to get rid of them. So the goal has to be not to accumulate them. What we're talking about here today is actually in support of the raw food movement. But for those of you who are not interested in eating exclusively raw food, for some reason, you can't stomach it, it's gross to you, whatever. I've done it. I'm not doing it right now, I have to be honest. It's something that you can't do around other people quite often because they get grossed out by it. But nonetheless, for those of you who can't support the raw food movement, Sean, are there foods that are not susceptible to high loads of AGEs when cooked?
When cooked, best foods are, vegetables, very little, formin vegetables. Other things are, fruits tend to have lower AGE contents with them naturally. When you take, like a potato, boiled white potato, it has, per 100 grams, 17 units of advanced glycation end products into it. But when you add a fat to it, it, you know, accelerates the formation of it. For instance, your McDonald's, you know, French fries, it has, you know, 1,500 units of AGEs in it. So, you know, over 100 times as much versus, you know, just potato
plain
alone.
White potato, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what about tuna? I remember in your article that you wrote something about tuna fish as well. Where does that
come? Oh, yeah. Tuna is interesting. You know, a staple food for many bodybuilders,
yeah.
Strength athletes.
I remember a period of time where I ate 6 cans of tuna a day.
I hear you. I've definitely polished off a lot through them, and you know. The mercury content is, you know, highly debated, but, you know, I'm still kind of going back and forth on that. But, you know, just looking at tuna in terms of AGEs, if you take your chunk light tuna in water, you're looking at 407 of these units per 90 grams. In contrast, if you take white albacore tuna in oil, you're looking at about 1,500 units.
Wow.
For the same mass. And so, you know, a little over 3 times as much of it. So, I mean, if it's not the mercury that, you know, convinces you that you should be eating the chunk light tuna content, it should definitely be the AGE.
Yeah,
level.
Because mercury is supposed to be higher in the white tuna as well. What now, you know what is interesting, Sean? When you look at packages of steak, when you look at packages of chicken breasts, it says zero carbohydrates. But clearly something that you said here is profoundly simple to understand, and that is that muscle retains glycogen. In every muscle, there is some amount of glycogen. Is it that there is so little that it's under a threshold where the government does not feel necessary to say that there is some form of sugar in that meat, or is it something that they overlooked?
You know, It's hard to say. I think the government, I think they overlooked, I guess. Yeah.
Underestimated, maybe? Here. Yeah, underestimated what was actually in there?
Exactly. You know, they could have underestimated it or just, you know, not realized the significance of it.
I mean, I never thought about it. You know what? I have been eating dietary animal proteins for a very long time and believing in my head that there was no carbohydrates in them. And how silly of me not to forget that there's glycogen in muscle.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple. I mean, you never hear about it. It's never really talked about. And, you know, minute amounts of it have huge impacts.
You know what they need to do? They need to put cows on treadmills for 6 hours before they slaughter them to deplete muscle glycogen.
We go on
levels.
A glycogen depletion run.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But okay, so vegetables are a safe bet if you're trying to. But now let's talk about something else. It's something that you said off the air to me that really makes a lot of sense. Now we come back to support of the raw food movement. For those of our listeners who have followed raw food when we started doing these shows a few years ago with Randy Roach, myself, we know I can eat a pound of raw chopped meat and not even feel it in my stomach. If I eat a pound of cooked chopped meat, I feel like there's lead in my stomach for hours afterwards. There's clearly a difference in the way the body metabolizes raw versus cooked. So for those of us out there who do embrace the raw food movement, obviously they're not experiencing any AGEs in that case, right?
It's relatively minimal, you know. I think in raw meats, you know, they contain a little bit, you know, greatly reduced versus the cooked version, of course. And so, you know, when I talk about eating raw foods, what's the first thing people say to you when you hear
they go, ew. That's the first thing they do. No, right. Uh-huh. Bacteria. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get salmonella poisoning. You know, my doctor told me that if I eat this, I'll die. You know, all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. You know, where, you know, bacteria grows on the outer surfaces of food. You know, I've never once, you know, cut a piece of meat, you know, cross-sectioned it, and saw in the middle of the meat there was mold growing in it or some sort of bacteria growing in it.
Right.
You know, your bacteria grows along the outer surfaces of your meat product. And what I always tell people, you know, if they're truly serious about, you know, reducing the amount of AGEs in their diet, you know, sear your meat, you know, kill off all that bacteria on the outer, you know, the surfaces of it. You know, don't cook it all the way through, you know, worrying about, you know, is the center of meat 140 degrees or not. I mean, you know, 99% of the bacteria is on that outer level. I mean,
right.
So if you just cook that meat hard, surface level, you're going to, you know, knock off all of that bacteria. You know, if you're concerned with the AGs, you know, that have formed in that outer surface, you know, just simply cut it away.
So really we're talking about searing. If you're totally grossed out by raw, then just sear your meat. What about chicken? Can you just sear chicken?
I think you probably still could, you know, chicken breast. I mean, salmonella is the big concern you always hear with chicken. And so, you know, if you already have a chicken breast that's off the deboned, you know, just sear the sides of it and, you know, relatively, I think you should be safe.
Now, interestingly enough, when I did some of my earlier raw food shows, a young lady who listens to the show who is a professional figure competitor named Catherine Ramirez, and we all know her because she and Jerry Beck have Iron Asylum, and they've given away shirts on the air during Casual Friday. Catherine started eating raw foods, exclusively raw foods, for months and months, and she started to prepare raw chicken in a ceviche-style preparation using lemon and olive oil and so on, and marinating the chicken in there. Like ceviche, the lemon and so on oxidizes and kind of cures the meat. I wonder if that ends up causing any type of AGEs as well, if you use those types of preparations to cure the meat as opposed to,
you know,
heating
it. It's interesting, you know, great thing that you brought up there. Acidic marinade, so we're talking, you know, a vinegar of some sort, lemon juice, it actually has a reverse reaction on the meat. It doesn't increase the formation of AGEs. It actually reduces the level of AGEs. And so, you know, if we take roasted turkey breast, you know, we marinate in, say, orange juice, lemon juice, you know, whatever sort of acidic marinade you like.
Right.
It, you know, instantly drops down the formation of AGEs during the cooking
process. So in other words, what it sounds like to me is it actually blanches the glycogen out so that when you do cook it, you don't have the problem. Is my assumption correct?
That is what I believe. I haven't found research, you know, Nestor, that goes into the deep chemical level of what's going on. But I'm pretty sure, you know, just dropping the pH, getting the, you know, the glycogen, kind of messing around with that, you just don't have the reaction underneath the high heat techniques.
That's pretty amazing. You know what? We've come upon our next commercial break, Sean. We have to take another commercial break. I want to plug your website again. You've got some fantastic articles there that people can go and read, and a two-part article on dietary AGEs that is really worth reading because it goes into great detail and supports a lot of the stuff that Sean is saying here, but also gives a lot more information on the foods that you need to be careful of that could be culprits. Go to Case, C-A-S-E, performance.com and check it out. Stay tight, Sean. We're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to have a quick commercial break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com,
GetDS.com or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaheLer.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Andro on. We're talking about amino acids, the building blocks of the body. Very, very important information. We're talking right now with Sean Casey about dietary AGEs. So, Sean, what about just products like cornflakes, for instance, you know, breakfast cereals? Do they possess AGEs?
Cornflakes have a lot of AGEs in them. Most of your dried cereal grains, you know, they've been cooked under very high heat conditions. You know, your Rice Krispies, your, even your oatmeal raisin cookie type things, granola bars, you know, all of these go under a heating process in order to, you know, get the final product. And, something you definitely have to be careful with, you know, we were talking about meat earlier, you know, we were always referencing about 90 grams and it had, you know, a couple thousand units of AGEs in them. You know, if you take the same amount of Kellogg's Rice Krispie Treats, for example, you're looking at almost 1,700 units of AGEs in them. So, I mean, pretty substantial, you know, like we were kind of discussing at the start of the show. What do, you know, the government, the traditional nutrition, you know, experts, you know, want us to do, you know, start off our day with a bunch of cereal, you know, grains, things of that nature.
You know what? It's amazing. I was having a conversation yesterday with a good friend of mine, Arnold Freeman. We actually started first grade together, and he actually represents an up-and-coming rapper. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, the government really, if you were a sinister-minded person and believed in conspiracy theories, you would think that the government is actually trying to thin the herd or reduce the population, or if not that, get everyone enlisted into a situation where they have to pay money to stay alive and clearly support the pharmaceutical agenda. Because this information that we're talking about here today, I mean, I'm no rocket scientist. None of us are really that. I mean, it's not like we have special knowledge here. You know, we're not reading trying to interpret the Shroud of Turin here. Everybody knows what we're talking about. Even the highest level of government agencies know what we're talking about. So you have to ask yourself, why aren't they factoring any of this information into their decisions when they create food pyramids and stuff like that? And there can only be one answer.
There's only one answer, that they have an agenda. Whether that agenda is related to corruption or whether that agenda is related to some mission, it's an agenda. And the agenda has nothing to do with health. Nothing to do with health. So,
you know, hearing you talk about that, you know, the things that are driving government, you know, it ultimately, you know, it reminded me of the good old AC/DC song, you know, listen to the money talk.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's such a huge influence over, you know, what's going on in the government. And, you know, I think so many people are willing to turn a blind eye when it comes to them earning a little greater paycheck, you know.
Yeah.
You know, with the lobbyists, as you know, I mean, the grain lobbyists are huge. You know,
corn is too. Corn is doing it again. I need everybody to go to my blog today and take action. The corn refiner, you know, Elisa talked about on a casual Friday a few months ago that the Corn Refiners Association is trying to rename high fructose corn syrup corn sugar. Even the cane sugar industry is opposed to this. They don't even want high fructose corn syrup called sugar. Okay. And we all know that fructose, especially that in high fructose corn syrup, does not become readily available as an F form of energy. It becomes a triglyceride. It raises triglycerides and it increases fat storage and it taxes the liver and it does all these horrible, horrible things. But let's face it, the corn producers are sitting around going, we got to sell high fructose corn syrup. What are we going to do? Well, I guess we'll have to come up with a campaign and try to fool people. Let's fool people into eating high fructose corn syrup. Let's rename it corn sugar. So there's actually a campaign now. There's a website called cornsugar.com. And I need people to go to my blog because I have a link so you can go right to the comment page and read my blog. It gives specific instructions. Just copy and paste the message that I have there, that it's pure bullcrap and that you refuse to buy any product that has high fructose corn syrup in it, no matter what they call it. This is ridiculous. This is another example. And you know what? Shame on the government for letting them play this shell game. I understand that the corn industry probably pays a lot of money into a lot of different political campaigns. But shame on you. Shame, shame on you. And you know what? Your grandchildren are going to die from the same problems that you're promoting right now if you get behind this campaign. So just remember that, Mr. Politician and Mrs. Politician, who wants to promote your own agenda. Your grandchildren are going to suffer for this. Think about that when you vote, when you do things that support this kind of charade. Anyway, okay. What can people?
I was going to kind of go off that topic. You know, with the Corn Association, you know, their commercials that they had out there, like, you know, oh, you know, what's wrong with high fructose corn syrup? It has, you know, same amount of fructose, you know, whatever, versus regular sugar. And then they kind of always finish it with, like, yeah, it's fine in moderation. You know, I had a couple of people ask me about that commercial lately, and they showed it to me. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, so they emailed it to me. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, I feel like I'm listening, you know, when they spout this stuff off, you know, we're similar to sugar, blah, 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 blah. You know, when I hear that, I think of like the student who got like a D minus on his test, telling the kid who got a D on his test, like, oh yeah, I got a D just like you got a D. We're pretty good. You know, we're the same.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like sugar.
Sugar is bad. Sugar is bad. Yeah. It's like saying, well, this sugar is just as bad as the other bad sugar, so eat this one too.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, like, if I was gonna, you know, why would you compare yourself to something that's already known to be a bad thing? You know?
Well,
like,
and you know what? We did this show yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, but I had a Dr. Trigvi Tulfsbol on, and they just did a definitive study that links glucose restriction to longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't raise blood sugar, you live longer. Very, very simple. What's the flip side of that? You raise blood sugar, you die sooner. You die of diseases sooner. So in the face of that, they're going, hey, we're just sugar. We'll kill you just as fast as the other sugar, so don't leave us out. It's like,
yeah,
give me a break, man. You know what? The corn producers need to take high fructose corn syrup once and for all and turn it into a fuel source so they can burn it in cars if you guys want to produce it. But stop trying to feed it to people. For crying out loud, have some dignity. Have some respect for human life over profits, okay? When you're laying on that table and the doctor's looking at you going, you know, you got 2 weeks to live, that's when it's all going to come to you then, Mr. Corn Refiner Executive. You're going to think, gee, I got to change my life. I'm going to go out there and get the message out. We were wrong for killing all those people. I'm going to tell people that corn is no good for them. That's when you're going to do it. Don't wait that long. Do it now. Do it now. Don't wait for you know, your life to be in the balances to finally come clean. Don't eat high fructose corn syrup, period. End of story. Don't eat cane sugar either, period. End of story.
Yeah, it's you know, when you boil down to it, it's pretty a simple thing. And, you know, as we talked about earlier in the show regarding advanced glycation end products, I mean, once you have these formed in your body, they're pretty much irreversible. You know, it's not like you can stop, you know, ingesting high amounts of sugar, high amounts of advanced glycation end products, and all of a sudden, the ones that have already formed and lodged within your body. It's not like they disappear. I mean, they're
well,
still present.
I actually made a note to myself during the last break. Eliminating AGEs. I'm going to start doing some research on the pathways, whether it's macrophages or what pathway AGEs are dealt with, the ones that are able to be expelled. And I'm going to find an expert to come in and talk about ramping up those pathways because clearly, we all have AGEs in us that we would like to get rid of. Even if we can get rid of 20% of the ones we have in us, that's better than just carrying them all around while we're stopping the ingestion of new AGEs. Sean, I got to tell you, bro, you hit a home run with today's show, man.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's a very humbling experience. You've had a lot of great interviews on the show that I've listened to, a lot of, you know, brilliant minds, brilliant coaches. And so, like I said, it's a true honor to be on your show and extremely humbling to, you know, sit in with you on the show. So thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll have you back on. I'll keep an eye on your blog, and as good things come up, I'll invite you back, okay? And you can read his blog at caseperformance.com. Check him out. Sean, take care, bro.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Andrew on, and we're going to be talking about none other. We're beating the drum again. Amino acids, not BCAAs, amino acids in general. A lot to know about them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's a cheesy fizzle. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This song sets the tone for a very important discussion. And no one else can deliver this discussion like my next guest. You know him, you love him. He is my brother, but he just happens to be displaced in Germany. He is Professor Dr. Andro. How are you, Dr. Andro?
I'm fine.
Good. And we're going to be talking today about the magic of amino acids. We call them building blocks, but they really are much more than just building blocks, aren't they?
Yes, of course. And I think this is something that changed in the last years, or our perception of the scientific perspective on amino acids changed in the last years. First, we thought amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, and proteins are the building blocks of our bodies. So amino acids are, in essence, the smaller building blocks of our bodies, and the essential amino acids is what it takes, or what you must consume to build your body. And as here of the physical culture, we all know that you need to consume enough protein, and that means enough amino acids to build muscle and to preserve muscle. But in fact, we are now realizing that amino acid intakes and the intake of the overall intake, as well as the intake of specific amino acids, trigger certain metabolic and hormonal pathways within your bodies that can improve your performance, help you to lose fat, make you healthy, make you age, make your age healthier, and make you stronger. And there are so many influences that are related to the intake of amino acids, but not related to their function as building blocks.
So it could be amino acids, similar to hormones, could be thought of as almost like chemical messengers, huh?
Yes. In fact, the amino acids and the processes they trigger. For many amino acids, it's not so much the amino acid itself, but rather what happens when it is oxidized, or the byproducts of its oxidation, and the way it figures in different cycles. For example, one of the main aerobic energy cycles, the citric acid cycle, how the amino acids are incorporated into it, which trigger all these metabolic responses. And maybe we could start with just briefly discussing what an amino acid is. And it's obviously one of the fundamental nutrients, but it's unique in the fact that you need that it contains a nitrogen atom, and this is the only nutrient you consume with nitrogen in it. And it has also a carbon, a hydrogen, and an oxygen atom, and these atoms are linked together, and they are constitute a what is called the amino group, which gives rise to the name amino acid, and a carbon skeleton. And this is the basic structure every amino acid has. And you can further distinguish the amino acids into alpha, beta amino acids, etc. But all this is just, it's rather chemical and technical.
And I do not think it's necessary for our purposes to go into too much detail. What we rather want to know is that there are overall 20 amino acids in what you eat. And of this 20, depending on where you are looking, some people say 10 of them are essential, some say 8 of them are essential. And interestingly, if you look where most people would look, in the Wikipedia, for example, you will find in the amino acid article the claim that there are 8 essential amino acids. And if you then click on one of the unessential or non-essential amino acids, which is histidine, you will find in the very same article on histidine that this is an essential amino acid, not listed among the 8 that were mentioned before. So arginine and histidine are considered essential by some scientists or by in some publications or in textbooks, and in others not. And maybe this is also what I consider a general problem, because some amino acids are in fact essential in certain states. For example, arginine is required for the young, but it's not required by adults.
Why?
And what?
Why? Why would arginine be a required or an essential amino acid for the young? What's happening in the young that's not happening in the adult that arginine helps?
In essence, arginine is required in states where your body is growing at a very high rate. So young people, or especially children, they are growing at a very high rate, and they need more arginine because arginine is involved in all these processes as not as a building block, but rather to facilitate transamination actions and to facilitate growth. It's also essential, for example, for burn victims. If you suffer from a severe burn, then at the hospital you will get an infusion that has several amino acids, and arginine is one of the most important ones.
Yeah, arginine, the reason arginine is so profoundly important in those instances where vascularization and neuronal sprouting is critical is that arginine increases hemoglobin nitric oxide, whether it be VNOS or ENOS, and so as a result of that, that nitric oxide has been shown to increase things like fibroblast growth factors, which influence new nerve sprouting, and vascular endothelial growth factors, which infiltrate deeper into the tissue, new blood vessels. And so
that's of course one fate of arginine, but later in the show we will also come to another one, which is ammonia disposal.
Ah.
So arginine is also of great importance for ammonia disposal. And in effect, these are two functions compete with each other. So if you do not get your nitric oxide boost from arginine, it could well be that you need all your arginine to get
for ammonia disposal. You know what? That's an interesting concept, because when I was in Phoenix last, one of the things I complained about when I would train and sweat was that my sweat had such a strong ammonia smell. Now, is that because my body was ridding itself of ammonia, or was that because my body was having a difficult time in accumulating ammonia?
Well, in essence, if it would not have been able to get rid of the ammonia, you could not have sweated it out. It did so, and there are also other pathways to get rid of ammonia.
Okay.
But the arginine pathway is an important one, and it is you accumulate more and more ammonia, the more protein, and especially the more BCAAs you consume, and the more BCAAs you burn in your muscles while you exercise.
Okay. All right. So getting back to let's list the 10 quote unquote essential amino acids.
Yeah. I don't want to count on to tell you just the names of these essential amino acids, because you can look them up everywhere. What I find quite interesting about them is the way we know about them, because all these studies have been done in the first half of the last century, and They just had people on very artificial diets, and they tried to remove specific amino acids and waited for the people to get sick. So in essence, if one of these amino acids is considered essential, this means that you cannot function at all if you do not get it. But for me, an essential amino acid could also be one that, or for our purposes of getting superhuman, quote-unquote superhuman, optimization is the goal. And in that case, it's not only about which amino acids are essential, but also which amino acids you must consume to optimize your metabolism and to optimize your performance. And this is what this will be a series. I don't think we have told the listeners that yet. This is the first part of a series on amino acids, and it will be all about individual amino acids, but the focus will be on which amino acids function in which ways and how can you use them to improve performance, to build muscle, to lose fat, or to optimize your hormones.
Okay.
And it's also worth mentioning that among the amino acids we are going to discuss are not only the 20 amino acids that you consume and what you eat, but there are also byproducts and other amino acids which are not considered to be part of these alpha group. And many of them, you know many of them, or our listeners know many of them, which are, for example, GABA, the GABA amino acid,
right,
or ornithine, citrulline, which are closely related to arginine, but you normally do not consume them in your diet, but
right,
your body produces them themselves. And then, of course, those performance-enhancing amino acids, beta-alanine and creatine. And I think many people do not even know that creatine is an amino acid, and your body is well able to manufacture it for himself if he has enough L-arginine, glycine, and L-methionine. And so these are only some of the other amino acids which will be discussed in this series.
Now, I have to ask you a question, Dr. Andrew. If you're getting adequate amounts of the essentials, and let's use the essentials that we're talking about, the ones for optimal health, and the body is going to be tasked with producing the non-essential or conditionally essential amino acids from them, does this happen in the liver, this conversion, or does it happen in tissue randomly throughout the body?
In essence, every part of your body is able to do these transamination actions, as they are called. Transamination means that your body first removes the amino group from one amino acid, from an essential amino acid, and then attaches it to another carbon skeleton and produces from that a non-essential amino acid. But different organs and different tissues can do this at different rates. And the most significant or most important transamination processes take place in the muscle tissue, where the BCAAs are broken down and transaminated into alanine, glutamine, and asparagine. And in the liver, where these amino acids are taken up and they are used as substrate for gluconeogenesis, and the liver is then returning the glucose to the muscles. And this is one of the most important processes in terms of the energetic function or the substrate function of amino acids, which is in essence the third function. If you consider the building block function, the first one, and the signaling molecule function, I hinted to at the beginning as the second function, then the energy or substrate function would be the third one. And in fact, this is probably a dreaded function for many people who are trying to gain muscle, because they think every time an amino acid is oxidized and the oxidation products are used for gluconeogenesis, then you are losing muscle. But in fact, these processes are going on in your body every second, every second you breath. And it's only that if the breakdown, if there's more breakdown than synthesis, that you are, in essence, losing protein from body tissue.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, let's do this. Let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with Dr. Andrew. We're talking about amino acids. This is the first part of a series of lectures about amino acids because these are probably the most important components in our body that we have control on their consumption. As we age, these conversions, as Dr. Andrew points out, the transamination process starts to slow down, which comes back to the mission of this show. Stronger is younger. If you maintain greater muscle mass, you have at least a running chance at maintaining these transamination processes and maintaining some of these amino acid conversions that are necessary for longevity. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from trueprotein.com. trueprotein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Andrew, all the way from Germany. You can
Read his blog. You don't have to wait for him to be on Supreme Radio. You can go to supversity.blogspot.com. And I promise you, later today, when I can find this banner ad, I will have it on the homepage of Superhuman Radio.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you know what? I was just looking for it in my email box. I thought, wait a minute, I was supposed to have a banner ad up on the homepage, and I know it's in my inbox. I am kind of like the scattered, nutty professor right now, having a difficult time achieving many of the things that I have to achieve, but I promise you that the listeners, that later today, the banner ad for Professor Dr. Andrew's website will be up, and it's worth visiting every single day because he always puts together insightful articles from about studies that no one else is talking about. He finds them. I don't know how he finds them. He must be up all night long searching for them because he does.
I am. I'm not sleeping.
I didn't think so.
That's only because I know which amino acids to consume at which time point.
And I have to believe leucine stimulates the brain because it interferes with serotonin receptors, so it staves off fatigue. Am I right about that?
It should do so, yeah.
Okay, creatine too.
It inhibits tryptophan and should keep you awake. But also creatine has recently been found to work as good as caffeine in a sleep-deprived state to get you going and to make you solve difficult logical problems. There was a recent study done on that.
Well, there was a study done by the Israeli Army 2 or 3 years ago where they took Army members who had to work the night shift, stay up all night, and guard, and they gave some of them creatine. And some of them they didn't. And the ones they gave creatine showed a greater degree of alertness. They did not get fatigued. They didn't get sleepy. And after I read that study, I always made sure not to take my creatine too close to bedtime because it will interfere with your sleep.
Well, I don't know if it will keep you up, but in fact, it will energize your brain. And if your brain energy is running out, it would be a good idea to supplement with some creatine. But yeah. I think we'll address that in a few chats.
Okay. All right. So let's talk. Let's get back on track here. The body and its relationship to amino acids and proteins. Let's talk about it.
Well, we already said that your body is made of proteins, and the proteins are made up of amino acids. And maybe it's quite interesting to hear some figures on that.
Okay.
And I have a 200-pound male being, then he has about 15 kilograms of amino acids in his body. But of these amino acids, only about 1% are free. That means you have a free pool of amino acids, which is sustained or the body regulates it pretty tightly. And these about 100 grams of amino acids are mostly in the muscles and in other tissue, free form, so they do not have to be taken from complete tissue protein. And it's interesting to know that even if you consume extreme amounts of protein, so if you consume 6 grams per pound of body weight protein in one sitting, then this free amino acid pool, or the BCAAs in this free amino acid pool, would only rise by 30%, because your body tries to compensate for that. For this means that the amount of amino acids that is in fact coming into the bloodstream from your digestive system, it will be regulated in terms of being broken down or being synthesized into proteins in your muscle and other tissue in that form or in that time course that the overall free amino acid pool stays relatively constant. So this is the one extreme amino acid consumption, and the other extreme would be starvation. And if your body always tries to regulate this pool, this tells you that whenever you consume amino acids from this pool, for example, to fuel a hard workout when you fasted for a day or even 2 days, then you must know that the amino acids to refuel this pool must come from body protein. And I think people who listened to one of the last episodes of Body Rx Radio will have heard Lane Norton say that much of the weight you are losing, and for example, when you're doing a contest preparation for a bodybuilding show, is not muscle protein, but protein from other organs. And in fact, the first protein that will be mobilized is protein from your digestive system and protein from your liver, because these are not only the organs which where the protein synthesis and cut up works fastest, but these are also the organs where the protein catabolism works fastest.
Wow. So your liver takes a hit when you start to a starvation diet.
It takes a hit, and what's also very important, I think this is very significant, I wrote an article about that for German magazine, I think 2 years ago, that if you go to your doctor and you have some lab sum, then they will do what they say are liver values, which is AST and
ALT, right.
And sometimes, like in my case, these values are high, despite not drinking one drop of alcohol, not doing any steroids or stuff like that. And I've been asking myself, how is that possible? And so I did some research and came onto the idea that these enzymes are just enzymes, transamination enzymes. They are also called the transamination enzymes. And in a sense, what they do is they transaminate, what we said before, they transform one amino acid into another one. And if you are in an energy-deprived state, or if you are on a very high protein diet with low carbs and low fats, then your body must transaminate huge amounts of BCAAs and other amino acids to fuel his energy demands, especially if you are working out. And that leads to an elevation in these so-called liver enzymes that is it looks as if you were doing steroids or taking any other medication so that your liver is taking a hit.
Interesting. So the reality is that you should not fast before going in for blood work because your liver enzymes may be elevated.
Well, in fact, it would also mean that you should not even train, because in the course of my research, I found studies that showed that these were non-trained individuals, and they had them perform eccentric bicep curls, a workout of eccentric bicep curls until exhaustion, and then they took blood values and the liver values of those so-called liver enzymes, they were elevated, and they kept elevated for 7 days. And I'm sorry if you hear the paper. I just wanted to look up the figures. It was a 16 times elevation of AST and up to 4.5 times elevation of ALT, measured in a study by Patterson et al., published in the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology in August 2007. So it's just the training-induced breakdown of protein and amino acids that requires the body to react by ramping up transamination processes, which will show up in your blood values as if you were an alcoholic or as if you were on steroids.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, so let's talk about the glutamine depletion in endurance athletes. This is a phenomenon that occurs even though there is a very, very tight control on the amino acid pool by the body, correct?
Yes. In fact, it is. And it's interesting that glutamine always comes up when we are talking about depletion of amino acids.
Right.
And in essence, glutamine is more important as in terms of being essential, not so much for muscle tissue, but rather for your immune system and your intestines. So these are the two organ systems which really rely on glutamine to function properly. Your muscles, on the other hand, they will send glutamine back to your liver for your liver to use this glutamine for gluconeogenesis to send back the glycogen to the muscles to fuel your workout. And so this is how you lose glutamine, and in effect, this will weaken your in the first place will weaken your immune system. And my personal opinion on glutamine, and especially on glutamine supplementation in quantities such as many bodybuilders supplement, is that they could just as well consume carbohydrates.
Really?
Because what their body does with the glutamine is he uses it for gluconeogenesis. And thus, it's not so much different than consuming carbohydrates.
Wow.
The one thing that is advantageous is that the rate at which glucose will appear in your bloodstream by gluconeogenesis is always controlled by your body. That is, you do not have to fear that you overproduce or you have high glucose levels. And this relates back to our previous topic of today. You do not have to fear that you have too high glucose levels and produce those RGEs. Because your body will not produce more glucose than he really needs. He will not catabolize more glutamine than he needs to catabolize at the moment. So this would speak in favor of using an amino acid and gluconeogenesis instead of carbohydrates. On the other hand, this is a process where you produce ammonia and you must dispose of the ammonia, and this is a process that is not half as fast as just taking direct carbohydrates to fuel your muscle and to fuel your workers.
So, and this is actually the concept of the warrior diet promoted by Ori Hofmeckler. I mean, his attitude is to consume protein during the day exclusively, especially like whey protein, and allow the body to regulate its own need for glucose through gluconeogenesis. So, that sounds like it does make sense then, doesn't it?
It does make sense, but it depends on your activity level. I think with a certain activity level, this method becomes difficult, especially if you are not at least having large amounts of fat as well in your nutrition. What we always see is people hear that protein is good for you, and protein can be used to produce glucose, so you do not need to consume carbohydrates, and well, they always hear fat is bad for you, and so why not just eat protein? If you do this, then this is probably the only case where you could really say that protein could be dangerous for your health, because there is some limit for your body where these processes cannot keep up with producing energy from, on the one hand, producing energy from the amino acids, and on the other hand, getting rid of the metabolic waste that is produced in the course of this process. So there is a phenomenon that's called, I think it's rabbit meat poisoning or something in the line of that, where a group of people, they just ate very lean rabbit meat. And they got so sick, they almost died because of hyperammonia. And their bodies could not get rid of the ammonia, and they could not produce any energy, any further energy. And ammonia is highly toxic, especially for the central nervous system and for the brain. And in this case, you really put yourself at danger if you try to consume a, say, 95% protein diet without any carbohydrates and fats. And I think this is something Vince Andrich has been talking about lately, that you have to tailor your carbohydrate intake to your workout demands. If you are a sedentary man or woman working at your office the whole day, driving to your office in your car, it's a very different situation from someone who's working out, let's say, six times a week and who's doing a huge amount of cardiovascular exercise, cardiovascular work or conditioning work as well. If you're only strength training, it really depends on who you are and what you're doing. And here we are diverting somewhat into the discussion, how much protein do we need? And this is actually something I think I did not really want to do in this series, but rather really look at the individual amino acids, and in this first first part of the series to give an overview of what all these amino acids have in common.
Let me ask you a question about turnover just for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
This notion that 300 grams of protein turnover per day, even without exercise, this turnover that we talk about is fueling the amino acid pool, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's not all disposed of and utilized. Some of it is restored in muscle tissue.
No, so most of the amino acids, they are cyclic. So if they are not oxidized completely, then they are transaminated and they can be retransaminated. Many of these actions are reversible. So in many cases, you do not lose amino acids because you always have those two major building blocks. On the one hand, the carbon skeleton, and on the other hand, the amino group. And only if normally you just switch the amino group from one skeleton to another, and so you have another amino acid, and all this is the 300-gram protein turnover. So you have synthesis and breakdown going on hand in hand. And what you want to accomplish in order to build muscle or to sustain muscle is always to keep synthesis and breakdown at least at par. If you want to build muscle, you must synthesize more protein than you catabolize. And this is also you can influence this rate by the intake of particular amino acids, and chief among this, as recent studies, and we have discussed this, or you have discussed it with many of your guests and in the show, that leucine is among the most important signaling amino acids in this case, because it tells your body there are amino acids coming in. Come on, ramp up the protein synthesis. And this is what he does. And so you increase protein synthesis, and interestingly, when the leucine is broken down into KIK and HMB, and these have been tried, or supplement producers have tried to sell them in the past as individual supplements.
You know who introduced HMB, right? Dr. Scott Connolly was the one who introduced HMB many, many years ago, and he has the license or patent on HMB, or the process that they make it. All the HMB sold in the world ends up going through him somehow.
Whoa, I did not know that. But HMB in particular has been shown to do the second part of the equation, or to cope with the second part of the equation. If leucine ramps up the protein synthesis, then its end product, or its oxidation product, HMB, it decreases protein oxidation or protein catabolism. And so normally, if you use leucine or if you consume leucine, you will end up with having more HMB in your body anyway. But additional HMB supplementation may be useful, despite studies showing very controversial results. And I think it always depends on the overall protein or amino acid intake. For example, if you already consumed a large amount of leucine, then supplementing additional HMB may not have that much effect as it would have in somebody who is only consuming a standard diet with a small amount of leucine in it.
So a lot of the things we're talking about are categorized by people who eat normal diets versus people who eat high protein diets.
Yes, and I think this is also where what we're going to do in the future shows becomes really important, also for those people who already have a very high overall amino acid consumption. Because by shifting the ratios between those amino acids, you can still improve your performance, you would not be able to do so if you just consume more and more and more protein with always keeping the same ratios between the amino acids. And this is, I found it quite interesting that back in the day we wanted to have Arthur O'Reilly from Alri Industries on the show to discuss his new product, Huma Pro, which is supposed to have a very specific amino acid profile and thus promoting muscle anabolism in a way that is unrivaled. and unfortunately declined. But this is, in fact, it is possible that the intake of certain amino acids and certain amino acids in certain relations could, in fact, improve your performance over just the standard whey supplement, despite taking much less in quantity, in overall quantity, in terms of protein or amino acids.
Really? So by consuming less overall protein, but with these more beneficial ratios of amino acids, could result in a greater degree of a protein synthetic response?
In essence, this could be possible, yeah. And it's also interesting that the more protein you consume, the more your metabolism will adapt to it. It takes about 30 hours for your metabolism to adapt to a certain protein intake by just elevating those transamination actions. And in essence, it's always it's always trying to keep this balance. And so you always increase protein synthesis and protein degradation at the same time, unless you try to overcome these obstacles by, for example, the consumption of leucine in order to exponentially increase the protein synthesis. And then a normal increase in protein degradation would overall still lead to an increase in protein synthesis.
Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dedicate the rest of the show to what, Dr. Andrew?
I think we could. We should briefly discuss the absorption of amino acids.
Very good. Both in free form as well as through digestion of protein, or just in free form?
I think it's intricately related, but we could go through the digestion of proteins or the breakdown of proteins very briefly.
Okay. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Party people!
Holla. 5 seconds is up.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Tomorrow is Friday. That means only one thing. Casual Friday. I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. And we're going to be covering a day in the life of Elisa Profumo. Several listeners have asked. The female listeners have asked, actually. They want to know what Elisa does every day to look so amazing. And so we're going to discuss that as part of the show tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss that. My guest today is Professor Dr. Andro. We're talking about amino acids. Now we're going to talk about digestibility of protein, which obviously you got to be able to digest your protein in order to have amino acids enter the body. So are we talking about digestion of the average person right now? What would you like to say, normal people?
I think the digestion of normal people and superhumans is not so much different. But in fact, the more protein you consume, the more difficult it becomes for a body to manage and digest this protein. Because as I think most of the listeners will have heard, of course you need digestive enzymes to break the proteins down and to enable the absorption of individual amino acids and small peptides. And in essence, this is the basic message that whole proteins, they unfold in the acidic environment in your stomach so that the enzymes can attach to them. And these enzymes, of course, these enzymes are pepsin, trypsin, chymotrypsin, and carboxypeptidases. I'm not pronouncing them correctly, I assume, because I'm usually using the German names, and they are quite different. But it's not really important how they are called. In essence, they cut down the proteins into smaller chains of amino acids, which are called peptides. And we've heard about peptides in several shows before, and about several hormones being peptides as well. But those peptides that are produced by the digestive enzymes in your gut, they cannot be absorbed unless they are shorter than 4 amino acids. So they must not have, these chains must be shorter than 4 amino acids. So there is a direct absorption of so-called D and 3 peptides, that is peptides composed of 2 or 3 amino acids, by a certain carrier system. And in fact, many of you will maybe have seen products on the market that claim that they would be superior to usual protein formulas because they contain those D-peptides and 3-peptides and would be absorbed much faster than usual whey protein, for example.
Yeah, I've seen
that. And in essence, this is actually right. Because, of course, if those 3-peptides and D-peptides are already in the absorbable form, then they do not have to be broken down by the enzymes before, and they can be taken up. And there's also another thing that is quite obvious for everyone, that if you absorb a chain of 3 amino acids at once, this is faster than absorbing 3 amino acids each after the other. So those peptides are in fact absorbed at least a little faster than 3 amino acids.
Was this what was meant back in the day when protein powders used to be touted as pre-digested protein? Were they broken down into these smaller di- and tripeptide chains?
Mostly they were broken down into larger than those chains. They were hydrolyzed, so for example, a hydrolyzed whey protein contains also di- and tripeptides, but it also contains peptides with longer chains. But in, if you have, for example, 90% 5-chain peptides, this protein would be absorbed much faster than a protein that has 90% of, let's say, 15-chain peptides. So, because the breakdown process, of course, takes its time.
Now, interestingly enough, you make a comment in your show notes about colostrum.
Yeah. Especially for you.
Yeah. Am I understanding this correctly? Do you believe that the magic of colostrum occurs only because of the first days of life, that the lining of the stomach or the mammal is able to absorb these things and that goes away? Or does the colostrum possess some magic, do you believe? Because it's always been told to me that colostrum has transporter enzymes that are designed to carry larger peptides into the gut of the baby. Is this a misunderstanding?
I think it is. I've checked on this fact because I was interested in it myself, and there's no really, or I did not find really conclusive data, but there is evidence that in human beings, other than, for example, in cows, we do not need to transfer immune proteins via colostrum or via human breast milk, because the babies already consumed or got those proteins via the placenta. So there is other data saying that at least in the first days of also a human's life, the gut lining can absorb larger peptides. So it's all about the problem of absorbing those long-chain peptides, whether or not the magic of colostrum will really happen in your bloodstream. But I think there could be another magic to colostrum, because those, for example, those immunoactive components in colostrum, they also work directly at your gut lining. And your gut lining is your first line of defense. And your gut lining and the microbia that are living in your gut, they are so complex, and the interactions with our hormonal and endocrine system, they are so, we do not really understand them now. So, in fact, there could be some magic by the interaction of these compounds of colostrum with what is already in your gut and not with your bloodstream or with your inner organs, because it won't get there. On the other hand, there's this issue of what people call leaky gut, meaning that you can absorb larger peptides and other larger molecules, which in essence is not always a good thing.
Right, because leaky gut is not a good thing. A leaky gut means that the inner lining of the stomach cannot contain what is in the stomach, and it seeps out through the wall and out into the viscera. So this is not a good thing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, leaky gut also means that you could absorb those larger molecules. And in essence, there are also medications, or there are compounds added to medications so that these
interesting. So these medications have agents that create almost a leaky gut environment so that the medication can be absorbed.
Yeah, they elicit dilatations in the human intestine tight junctions so that the medications can be absorbed better. And interestingly, just today, I keep browsing some of those supplement shops just to see what's new on the market, and I found that one company has come up with a product line which has the, I do not really like the name, but they are, for example, one product is called glutamine decanate, even the name suggests that there would be more to this product than just glutamine.
Right.
And in this product, there is one component which is supposed to increase the pumping action of the epithelium of your intestine so that it's absorbing more, and another compound, which is sodium caprate, which is also used in pharmacological context, which in fact elicits dilatation of these tight junctions in your gut. And this is part of what is also described as the leaky gut syndrome. So if you really want to absorb everything very efficiently, you have to create this pathologic condition of the leaky gut.
But from a health standpoint, it would not be wise to use a product that creates an artificial leaky gut environment day in and day out, because eventually that artificial leaky gut environment is going to become chronic. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I don't know if this particular compound or this particular product could induce this, but in general, it would not be a wise decision to do that. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So now let's talk about healthy gut absorption of complete proteins. What percentage of dietary protein actually makes it into the body and becomes biologically active, and what percentage of it ends up just exiting the body as waste?
Well, in that case, we again have data from normal people. So if I'm now telling you that about 5% are excreted undigested, then this is for people who consume normal amounts of protein and who completely rely on their own digestive enzymes to break this protein down. As you know, many bodybuilders consume huge amounts of protein, but they also consume huge amounts of exogenous digestive enzymes to consume or to digest this protein.
Right.
And maybe one or the other of the listeners already had diarrhea from consuming too many protein shakes because his intestine could not handle this protein load.
Right.
But essence, it's all of the protein, your body won't give away nutrients. You won't pass on the chance of absorbing nutrients. So the 5% of protein that are lost in fakes is a realistic number, even if you increase your protein consumption, especially because your body is adapts to that and will increase the production of respective enzymes and increase the digestive or the performance of the digestive system. So you can train your body to consume or to digest more protein.
Now, what are some of the conclusions that we should take away or summarize from protein digestion as it relates to its conversion to peptides?
Well, one conclusion is that you should not go and buy, for example, HCG as an oral peptide, because you know that this peptide is too long to be absorbed by your gut, so you would be wasting time. You better go ahead and buy it at OP Resource and inject it.
Right.
As you do, Carl.
Right, exactly.
Or
thank you.
Other peptides.
Right.
And
orally delivered peptides are useless. There's no doubt about it. They have too large of a molecular weight to make it into the lining of the stomach.
Yeah, this is one thing. The other take-home message is if you want to digest your protein, you need an adequate enzyme production. And you also need an acidic environment in your gut. So if you're taking those proton pump inhibitors, the omeprazole and what they are called, then you are risking that you cannot digest your protein because you do not have enough acid in your stomach to, one, unfold the protein for the digestive enzymes to attach to the peptide, and two, to activate the digestive enzymes. Because the hydrochloric acid is also needed to activate some of these enzymes or to make them work.
And what about the dipeptide and tripeptide-based protein powders? Do you think that they are worthy of people's extra money?
I don't really know if they are worthy of the extra money. You must decide that for themselves. But if you can afford them, in general, they are superior, and especially formulas that have both those D and 3 peptides and 3 amino acids are superior, because you can imagine this works like you have two different transport systems working at the same time. You have one carrier system that carries those amino acids into your bloodstream, and another carrier system that carries amino acids that are contained in those peptides into your bloodstream. So this will, of course, spike your amino acid levels more than a regular protein that first has to be broken down, and then will be absorbed. So combinations of free-form amino acids and small or short-chain peptides are effective. But I know that you, for example, take your BCAAs, that is free-form amino acids, with your whey protein. And
yes.
In essence, whey is already a very has already relatively short peptide chains. And so this is the advantage of using one of those really expensive products would not be so so important, I think.
Now, what is your opinion of that? I got a little ridicule from several people on Facebook as well as during the Body RX show that because I add BCAAs to my protein powder. Do you think that this is foolish of me?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it foolish. I would say that it is worth experimenting with it, because I do not know that anybody has data that it does not maybe give you the 1% extra performance that or extra muscle gain that everybody is looking for. Because it makes sense that if you have those amino acids available at the very moment they hit your stomach, they will be absorbed. So in essence, you have a little advantage over someone who's just consuming his normal whey protein. So it would make sense.
Now,
I personally, for example, I use some BCAAs immediately after my workout and then drink a whey shake a few minutes later. But this is just because it's more convenient for me to do this way, because I do not like taking a protein shake with me to the gym, and I just ingest some amino acids, and then it's just a few minutes to get home and drink a shake then.
One of the things I'm sorry?
It's not, I do not really do this because I think it's the most effective way to do it, but rather because it's a convenient way, and I think it works. So, I would not say that everybody, if you had the money to just do one thing, I would stick to the whey protein after workout.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it has a high amount of BCAAs in it, it has other compounds. It also has calcium, and it might also make even more sense to combine the whey protein shake with some slow digesting protein like casein. To have the spike from the whey, or even the whey and the BCAAs, and to maintain a high amino acid level by adding some slower digesting protein like casein. And in fact, this brings us back to the good old milk,
yeah.
Because it is whey and casein. And there are those studies on nothing but chocolate milk that show that is as ergogenic as some of the very expensive supplements.
And my pre and post workout drink typically, I mean, right now I'm using the colostrum because I'm trying to go through it. But normally what I do is 16 ounces of raw unpasteurized milk and 50 grams of whey protein and 2 scoops of BCAAs. And that's my pre and post workout drink. So I've got fat in it as well. I've got some healthy fat from grass fed cows to even slow things down a little bit more. Tell me about the transporters. One of the things I found really interesting is we take BCAAs, which is leucine, isoleucine, and valine, yet leucine inhibits the absorption of isoleucine and valine. That doesn't make sense to me. It sounds counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are different groups of amino acids that are transported by the same carriers. And one of this group consists of leucine, isoleucine, and valine. So if you have, for example, blue, red, and green trucks, then all the green trucks transport leucine, isoleucine, and valine. And if a valine is in the truck or on the truck, a valine amino acid, then the leucine amino acids must wait until the truck returns and carries them over your gut lining into your bloodstream.
Ah.
And so they inhibit each other because they are structurally similar, and those trucks, those carriers, they are, of course, specifically constructed to dock to certain molecules. And so you have a similar competition, for example, for leucine and arginine. And this is also a very famous one, because if you overconsume arginine, you can have problems with herpes simplex. This is very many people know about this, because if you have too little leucine, then you are prone to getting those herpes infections. Then by overconsuming arginine, you would inhibit leucine absorption, and thus could trigger a herpes outbreak.
Wow, I never knew that. That's interesting. So people who do suffer from herpes simplex should take leucine, free-form leucine.
Lysine.
No. Yeah, that's what I meant, but I just pronounced it the same way you did. Yeah, lysine. Okay, now one other question. As it relates to leucine, isoleucine, and valine, does the body have a preference? Does it let leucine in first and hold off isoleucine and valine, or does the competition happen randomly?
Unfortunately, I have not found data on that, and this is the first question I tried to answer in preparation for this show, and I will try to answer it in preparation for one of the next shows again, but maybe I will come up with some data, or maybe somebody who is listening to this show has a study on that. I have a study that shows this competitive inhibition, that is, only one is taken or transported at a time, but it does not really show that one is preferentially transported.
Because it may make sense to take your BCAAs as a two-part dose, where you take your leucine first, and then you take your isoleucine and valine at second. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're getting too, you know, we're splitting too many hairs, and we have to take a break anyway. Those of you who are listening to the show realize that we're going long today, but this is all very, very critical information, and I felt that it was worth to go long. This is actually the first part of a series of shows that are going to be dedicated to amino acids, rightfully so. Dr. Mauro DiPasquale wrote a whole book on amino acids, one of the best books he's ever written. And there's not enough that can be understood about amino acids. We're going to try to tackle it in a series here with the brains and willpower of Professor Dr. Andrew. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wir wurden älter, wurde ich lehrte, dich noch besser kennen. Ich erinnere mich, wie wir am kleinen Schlossplatz rumgesessen sind.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Dr. Andrew, did you hear the new BCAA spot for True Protein cut by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo?
I did hear them, and I find them characteristic of what people know and think about amino acids, because it's all about BCAAs. Of course, they are important, but if you look at the lineup at True Protein, you will notice that they sell almost every of the other essential amino acids as individual amino acids as well. And I think that Dante from True Protein will notice after the series is over that his sales in those individual amino acids have gone up considerably.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do use leucine by itself, but that we'll talk about that in a later show. I want to talk to you about logical approaches to using some of these individual amino acids. Like lysine, I can see people who are having are prone to herpes taking lysine, obviously. So we'll discuss that later in the series. Okay. Modifications of amino acids in the body. Let's talk about this. All tissue, you said earlier, have the capability for transamination, correct?
Yes, and to some degree, they all have the capability to do this. But you could say that some of them are specialized in certain modifications, and the main tissue that the main organ that does the whole job is, of course, your liver. And this again is evidence of how important this organ is for your body. People always you do not really realize that, because it can take a beating and another beating and another beating, and it won't hurt and it won't say a word. But if your liver is not functioning properly, then your whole metabolism is a wreck.
Is there anything we can do to help the liver in the transamination and deamination process? Is there things that we can give it, like things that increase glutathione production, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, of course, everything that increases glutathione production and overall liver health, and I think you have done shows on that in the past. They
right.
will also improve the liver's performance in handling amino acids and in producing glucogen or in the gluconeogenic process and transamination processes. And what I've already said before on the show is that if you really have elevated so-called liver values, so RST and ALT levels are elevated, the first thing you should do is also check your creatine kinase levels, CK levels. If these are elevated as well, then chances are that these are not liver enzymes at all, but these are enzymes that come from your muscles and from a severe training session. because with creatine kinase levels, they are, of course, a sign of muscular breakdown due to, in the case of training-induced muscular breakdown. So if you really had a hard leg workout the day before you get blood drawn, chances are that not only your AST and ALT levels will be elevated, but also your creatine kinase levels. And in case you have a doctor who has no clue about sports science and or sports medicine, then he will say you do not only have liver failure, but due to your high protein consumption, your poor kidneys are taking a beating, and you have rhabdomyolysis in a late stage, and in a few days you will die because your kidneys can't handle this. And in fact, I have had a doctor telling me something like that, and all that triggered the research back in the day I did on those transamination enzymes.
Did you bring the research to his attention, or did you not even bother?
I did bring the research to his attention, and you won't believe he's one of those doctors who looked at the studies I gave him and who admitted that, in fact, this was something he did not learn at medical school. And from now on, he's always he's no longer afraid when he sees my enzyme levels. I remember back in the day he said to me that the laboratory called him because of those levels, because they thought his patient would be in acute danger.
Right. That's funny. And I want to add something you said earlier. If you have a hard workout, leg workout, and you have ALT and AST and creatine kinase levels elevated, it was probably because of the workout. If you train legs the day before you get blood work done and you don't have elevated creatine kinase, then you need to train harder. So there you go.
You are also already a superhuman, so your body just does not bother.
There you go.
And just one figure concerning the creatine kinase. From the very same study I related to before, where we saw 16 times elevation of AST levels, the creatine kinase levels of five of those subjects Mr. Patterson tested, they were above the detectable limits.
Wow. All right, so let's jump into gluconeogenesis for a minute, because this is something that really interests me. It was once said to me by someone who is not a proponent of high-protein diets that those of us who stay on high-protein diets too long can end up with terrible adrenal fatigue by the constant demand for our body to produce glucose from amino acid sources and ketones as well, obviously. But do you think there's any truth to that? Didn't you actually reply to that comment on my Facebook one day?
Yeah, I remember the discussion was on your Facebook. And in essence, I think there is really a danger in the case of those very high-protein, low-fat diets. Very high protein, low fat, low carbohydrate could really trigger a situation where your central nervous system is overtaxed because you are in a situation where you cannot use ketone bodies effectively, because if you look at the whole range of amino acids, you only have leucine and lysine, which are really ketogenic. That means these are the only two amino acids that will produce only ketone bodies. Right. The other we use to produce glucose, and if your body always gets has episodes of glucose, then your brain and your central nervous system will not switch to the ketogenesis mode, and they will always be fatigued. So you cannot fuel the energy demands of an athlete and even a moderately active fitness enthusiast with such a diet. So it's not so much a high protein diet as it is a low carbohydrate, low fat diet.
So if you're going to go low carb, you need to go higher in your fat. That's the bottom line. Okay. Where do you want to go from here? Well, I know we're coming to the end of the interview. There's some things that you still want to cover, the citric acid cycle and stuff like that.
Well, maybe just I mentioned the citric acid cycle before, and its importance in, well, using, in first of all, using amino acids as energy sources,
right.
But in a second function is also that within the citric acids and the byproducts that are produced in the citric acid cycle, all those transamination processes take place. And the very name or the fact that it is a cycle also hints at what you have questioned or you have asked before, whether those turnover rates, whether this protein is disappearing. No, of course it is not disappearing. It's a cycle, and it's recycled. And of course your body loses some protein, but you also consume protein to refuel those cycles. And it's, maybe it's also interesting to know that within this cycle, the main pathways are the transportation of BCAAs into the muscle. The BCAAs come directly from your digestive system, and this is what is always emphasized also by the producers and the supplement producers, that BCAAs are the only amino acids that are not metabolized in the liver, and in fact that's true, but if they get to your muscles and you need energy because you do not consume energy from other sources like fat or carbohydrates, as we have said before, they will be broken down in your muscles instead of being used as to build new muscles.
Right, right.
The breakdown products in one or two steps will then be converted to alanine, to asparagine, and this is ALT, the ALT enzyme, and the AST enzyme are responsible for this. So this is why those enzymes will be elevated. And while the asparagine is used within the muscle to produce new ATP energy in the muscle, the alanine as well as glutamine, which is also produced in the muscle, they are transported back to your liver. Well, the liver diverts some of the glutamine back to other organs that need it, such as the gut or the immune system, and uses the rest of the alanine and the glutamine to produce glucogen, which then is transported back to your muscles to be used as energy. And this is a cycle that is going on and on. And it's one of the most important and fundamental cycles for energy production, and it's working whenever you do not have to work out for it to be a part of the energy equation. So it's not only in situations where you have an increased energy demand that that amino acids are used to fuel your energy demands, but also in your everyday life.
Okay, I think we've covered everything that we need to cover. Some of the stuff we covered earlier in the show that we were supposed to cover later in the show. We're going to end up probably doing a series of these interviews related to amino acids. Dr. Andrew, can I put this particular PDF that you supplied me with the show notes up on the blog for people to download and save?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is really comprehensive and it's well done. So this will be on my blog within an hour after the show being posted, and a link to download it to. And we will announce the upcoming shows, and they're probably going to be a series of four or five shows on amino acids because it's that important. And again, you don't have to wait to learn things from Professor Dr. Andrew. You can go to Supversity, supversity.blogspot.com. to learn more, and look on Superhuman Radio's homepage for a banner ad to take you there in the very, very near future. Okay, Dr. Andrew, I want to thank you very much for being on the air today to talk about the amino acids. And we will see everybody tomorrow with Casual Friday. Don't miss it. It's going to be fun. We'll see you then.